In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus wanted to choose the first of the apostles, he chose Peter. And he chose Peter because Peter seems to have had, right from the beginning, a natural quality of humility and obedience. In the midst of a crowd, as people tried to push and gather around him, he found that he wasn't able to communicate with the people in general because everybody wanted his individual attention. And so he went down to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Lake Gennesaret. It's the same place. It's the same sea. And there were two boats there. And one of them was Simon's. And he picked Simon's boat, and he got into the boat, and he asked Simon to push out into the deep. And so Simon did. And once they were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, he asked Simon to let down the nets. And Simon responded and said that they had been fishing all night and hadn't been able to catch anything. But at his word, he would let down the nets. First, he objected and he pointed out that they hadn't been able to do anything so far. But then he did as he was asked. He responded with humility and obedience, a humility and obedience that was characteristic of him from the beginning. Not to say that Peter had all the virtues, he didn't, but he had that beginning. That was the beginning that Jesus chose for the first of the apostles, the one who would be the leader of the apostles. It had to be an apostle who was humble and obedient, not prideful and believing himself to be the source of authority. In our society today, humility is not highly valued. It's looked down on. For as long as I can remember, back into my childhood, the touchstone has been self-esteem. It's amazing how each generation seems to think it's recently discovered things that have been known for half a century or more. One of the disadvantages of getting older is that this becomes inescapable to you. Father Thomas More sent an email to me the other day about anger and the spiritual life that can lead to a way of dealing with anger. And he cautioned me that the shortcoming of the article was that it held up self-esteem as a value. And he pointed out that even at the level of the kind of practical discipline of psychology that the article used sources from, the recent understanding was that the whole idea of self-esteem was a real problem. He said that if you want to find those who score highest when it comes to self-esteem, you will find them in prisons. Now, it doesn't mean everybody in prisons has high self-esteem. They have their own pecking order in prisons. But if you want to find the people who have the highest level of self-esteem, that's where you'll find them. And this is considered brand new information. Well, back in high school, when I was in junior high school, I would go to the senior high school library and I would look for books. It was just down at the other end of the building. One of the books that I read down there dealt with the gangs in New York. Now, this was a study that was done on the gangs in New York City in the 1950s, from the 1940s to the 1950s. And it said that psychologists had expected that what they would find in juvenile delinquents, that's what they called them back then, that old-fashioned term, what they would find in juvenile delinquents was the problem of low self-esteem. But surprise of surprises, they found that the members of these gangs, these violent young men, had a very high level of self-esteem. In their own messed up kind of way, they had no neuroses. They were psychologically well balanced. They were predators. They prey on others, and they had no emotional difficulties. They didn't worry about who they hurt or who they killed, whose life they took. And they slept soundly, and they had high self-esteem. High self-esteem, low self-esteem, the truth of the matter is that they are both on the same scale. They are levels of pride. High pride, low pride, same measurement, same thermometer. Sometimes we're low on the thermometer. Our pride is cold, not active. Sometimes it rises and we feel strong and self-confident. There are lots of ways to build up your self-confidence. You can go and take courses or buy books to improve your level of self-confidence and build up your pride and lack of concern for others so that you can succeed in ways that involve the manipulation of others, ignoring the humanity of others, not caring about how they might respond. All depends on where you are on the thermometer of high and low self-esteem, the thermometer of pride. Now, we don't believe in the thermometer of pride. Pride isn't a virtue. High self-esteem isn't a virtue. Low self-esteem isn't a virtue either. It's not humility. It's on the scale of pride, the same thermometer, the same measurement of our spiritual temperature. What Christians believe in is humility, but what we're stuck with inside of ourselves is this pride. Peter seems to have begun on a different scale. Spiritual writers say that those things that are just part of us, we don't get credit for. They're just part of our personality. Some people seem to be naturally humble. And Jesus chose one of these naturally humble people to be the first of the apostles. You would have thought he would have picked a strong leader. We have ideas, lots of ideas about what it takes to be a strong leader today. High level of self-confidence, forging ahead. That's not what Jesus chose. He chose Peter. Shortcomings in many ways. Lots of lessons that he needed to learn from Christ during the 3 years that they lived together, moved from one place to another, and Peter heard his teachings and was molded by Christ because in his humility, he was able to provide the clay so that he could be molded by the Word of God and become Saint Peter, the man who did so much to begin the life of the church that all of us share as members today. I read recently a saying by an elder of a Greek monastery. He said that when it comes to humility, we don't only have to humble ourselves, we have also got to deal with the indignities and the embarrassments that are placed on us by others. Those are the things during the day that test us. Some will test us believing perhaps that we have a greater humility than we actually have. Others may test us in some kind of strange contest between levels of pride to gain advantage. We never know, but too often we fail. Our spiritual effort, our self-discipline to deal with our pride, it's not visible to others, and they may not know the nature of the inner struggles or the past or the history that we might tap into by dealing with others as though we were dealing with someone who deserved no respect or that it's some kind of joke to deal with others in a disrespectful kind of way. But you never know what kind of reaction you're going to get. You never know. In our society today, you may get shot. Everybody carries a gun. You don't want to just go around poking people that seem harmless. All of us have got to make this effort to begin with humility, because our spiritual lives begin and end with humility. It is the ultimate accomplishment, and it is also the place that we have to begin. And we don't get any encouragement about it from our society. But if we want to see the source of humility, we can't look into ourselves, we can't depend on our own moral and spiritual strength, we have to look to Christ. And when that moment of test comes, our reaction will either come from the depths that we have not yet dealt with, or it will come from the purity and the peace of Christ. And so this is a spiritual effort that we've got to work on daily in all of our interactions with others, and deal peacefully and gently with others, not using our words to wound, not taking pleasure in words that kill, idle talk, gossip. We don't know where they end. The saints call this spiritual murder, and we don't take it seriously. We discuss among ourselves and make little groups where we indulge in derisive laughter over one thing or another, or this kind of person or that kind of person, disrespecting others in order to make ourselves feel more secure, in order to rise on that thermometer of pride, in order to have a little boost of self-esteem. This is a destructive practice, a two-edged sword that doesn't just hurt others, but also hurts ourselves at the same time and all those who participate in it. Part of our spiritual discipline has to be first to do no harm to others, then to try to do them good, try to protect those who are defenseless, meek, who are trying to deal with life in a Christian way. All of these things require our spiritual effort and our effort to move into a humility that may not be ours, but that Jesus Christ has in abundance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.